It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark LeVillier. Coming up in this hour adventure, we'll hit the trail with Mark Trail later on in the hour from 1950. Right now, it's the true-to-life stories of the Second World War and Man Behind the Gun, one of radio director William N. Robeson's triumphs on the air. The CBS broadcast a rare one from November 6th, 1943, called Company Aid Man and the Road to Rome.
Tonight, the man behind the gun is a man without a gun. A company aid man somewhere on the road to Rome. The makers of Elgin Watches present The Man Behind the Gun, dedicated to the fighting men of the United States and the United Nations. In broadcasting these authentic accounts of men of war, Elgin hopes to bring to all of us a better understanding and deeper appreciation of the job being done by our fighting forces everywhere in the world, and the job we have to do to keep them fighting. Tonight, the man behind the gun is a company aid man, the first man to reach a fallen soldier on the battlefield. Your name is Jim Peterson. On your tin helmet, you wear that red Geneva cross that all nations agreed to honor, but some don't. It means you're a company aid man. Just that. You don't carry the wounded. You don't drive an ambulance. You're not a doctor or a nurse. You're the guy who goes right into the middle of the shooting with your platoon, armed only with a first aid kit. And you stick right with them no matter where they go or what they do. Like them, you've got to take it. But you can't dish it out. All you've got is bandages, medicine, water, cigarettes, and a trench-side manner. That's why you're the rear man as your platoon walks through the night along this shell-scarred road toward a little Italian village people used to call quaint.
What a life.
That's Bill Harrison sounding
life
off.
The life I've got in this army is walk. I walked at Camp Fremont. I walked all over Africa. I walked all over Sicily. And now I walk clean to the top of Italy.
Well, what are you beefing about? Keeps you thin.
Listen, Florence Nightingale, GI rations do that without no walking thrown in. Hey, you should talk. You don't tote one of these machine guns. You gotta talk.
I got my troubles.
Yeah, I know, Florence. Them pills of yours must drag you down.
Florence Nightingale, Bill calls you. That's his idea of a gag. To you, it is definitely unfunny. You flop into the ditch beside the road, your GI shoes weighing a ton of feet. But your butt hardly hits the dirt when the lieutenant barks,
"Non-com! Up front on the double!"
Non-com. That means you, too. So you drag your tired carcass up to the head of the line where Kelly is briefing.
"Now, boys, our job is this. Asernia's up ahead, and between is a small village. The colonel wants to know what's there, so we're going to find out."
Kelly looks around at the sergeant. Kelly's your platoon leader. He's a lieutenant, but in action, he takes off his insignia, and he's just Kelly, without bars. The Nazis are looking for officers.
"We don't occupy unless it's a pushover. Our job is to find out what strength is there."
"Yeah, like at Catherine Pass. We draw fire."
"That's right, Bill.
Just a bunch of clay pigeons."
"Well, maybe there's nothing there. We don't know."
"That chance."
"What do you want me to do? Wire the colonel and tell him we'd rather not? Check your time. 325 hours. We'll advance in 10 minutes. At 400 hours, we'll be in the village. They're dropping a parachute flare over the place at 403.
To light us up like Christmas trees. Cute, huh?"
Doc, you better take along a lot of pills. There's going to be some sick boys in this platoon."
"Yeah, I got them."
"We'll clear out on whistle and come back here. All right, get back to your squad."
So you drag back to the end of the file and throw yourself down at the foot of a tree. 8 minutes to go. Your eyes are closed and you check the supplies in your kit. As your fingers touch them, you name them with your lips.
"Bandages.
Mustn't sleep.
Iodine.
Just relax.
Tranquilizers. Sulfifiers, all pills. Sulfur powders. Cigarettes. Morphine. Pencil. Emergency medical tags.
I'll bet those mortars are in that orchard over there.
That you read?"
"Yeah. Just been waiting for them to open up."
"Why do we start moving? Then you'll know."
"Doc, if you get a chance, maybe you could talk to Johnny Anderson, huh?"
"Hurt?
He kind of broke off about Tony McGill's getting up this morning. They were friends, you know.
Well, why don't you talk to him, Red?
That ain't my business. You're the doc.
Funny about Red. And all the time he's been with your outfit, he's kept to himself. It's even funny he mentioned Johnny. Hard as nails, but he handles the Garand like a magician.
Maybe if Johnny sort of felt there was another friend...
Or... I ain't making any friends, see?
Why not?
They ain't gonna hurt me like that. I don't cry over no one. They can knock off the whole bunch, and it's Jake with me. Nobody's hurting me.
Okay, Red. I'll talk to him when we get back from the patrol. But just let me lie here a minute, will you? Right now, I just want a little sleep. Oh, give me just 5 minutes. 5 minutes out of my whole life, and I'll... Hey!
I was right. They was in that orchard.
Manny! I'm coming! Coming!
You forget sleep now. Those mortar bursts have shaken you back to life. You work fast in the dark. Boys you laughed with yesterday are sobbing in the mud with pain. In the dark, you fill out the EMTs, the emergency medical tags.
Joe French, private first class, company D, gunshot wound, left femur.
Only you write it in GI shorthand.
Alvin Weinstock, P1, GSW, R-foot, ABD, punch. Johnny Anderson, P1.
You won't have to talk to Johnny now. No one will.
Johnny Anderson. K. I. A.
K. I. A. Killed in action. That's the one you hate to make out. Just get back in line when the signal comes. A low, cautious whistle. The men get up stiffly. They start down the road, double file. They don't talk now. This is the real stuff. No one thinks about anything except that light that's going to bust at 403 hours. You see the white houses of the village ahead. Fingers touch triggers. They want to hit the dirt. They want to crawl on their bellies up to that village, but they can't. You can't. You're a clay pigeon. Colonel's orders. It's 359 hours. There's the plane. The men keep going. You jump across door openings. You duck under window ledges. Up in the blackness, a parachute flare is falling. Every man freezes in his place. A flare bursts.
Captain! Not even to their fire! Captain!
You found out what the colonel wanted to know. The village is occupied and defended.
Clear out! Get out of here! Hey, come on!
Kelly runs toward you, throws something into the window ahead of you, and falls to the ground. Immediately, the house shakes and chunks of plaster fall on you. Kelly is up and running into the doorway. Two men follow him. You follow them. Inside, there's a bitter stink of burnt powder. Two Jerrys are dead by their machine gun at the window.
Any of you guys hurt?
I'm okay.
Yeah, me too, Kelly. Let's get out of here. Red, see if there's a back way. That street out front there's murder.
Here's the door.
Take a look.
It's okay.
All right. Let's go.
You see them go out one by one, quickly, crouch double. You start after them. And then you stop. Somebody's hit out front in the street. Kelly said that street was murder. Wouldn't risk his men there. But that doesn't apply to you. Nobody ever tells a medic where he can't go. So you crawl out to that body, out into the middle of murder. It's brighter now. It's almost dawn.
Okay, pal. Where are you headed?
You turn the body over. It's not a Yank, it's a Nazi. Just a kid. He's looking up at you with the scaredest eyes you've ever seen.
Did I kill me? Did I kill me?
I'm not going to kill you. See? Geneva Cross. Here, let me unbutton your blouse.
Please, did I kill me?
Is that what they tell you we do? Look, Fritzy, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to help you, see? Geneva Cross. Skin for Christ. Now, let's see your wound. All right. I'm going to pour in some of this.
No.
It's sulfur powder. Hold still.
You sprinkle the powder onto the shattered chest. The boy's face turns green. You shoot two pills into his mouth and give him some water.
All right, now. Take a big drink now. Come on. Now, what's your name, bud? Name? Fred Heinrich. Friedrich.
Yeah. Friedrich Hoffman.
All right, now look. I write it on this tag so they'll know who you are. If we pick you up, they send a letter to your folks and tell them you're okay. Friedrich Hoffman.
You look up. You're closer than you thought to the building across the street. Two Nazis are in the door facing you. One of them holds a submachine gun. You can see it moving from left to right in your direction. You hear them say Geneva Cross. That means you. They're going to kill you in cold blood. So you keep on talking because you can't wait for a thing like that in silence.
If I get the Spanish on, I'll drag you over to the wall. But right now, this comes first.
Say, you've got folks, haven't you?
Huh? What? Folks?
Yeah, Mutter, Vater.
Mutter.
Yeah,
all right. Wait a minute.
There you are, kid. That'll hold until somebody gets to you. A couple of months in a hospital and you're okay.
Why don't they shoot? What are they waiting for? You don't dare look up. Why don't they shoot? There's nothing to stop them.
All right, now look, Friedrich. I'm fastening on the tag. Now, don't lose it. Tells what treatment you've had, see? Now, I'm going to drag you over to the side.
Feet.
All right, take it easy, Friedrich. Now, listen, take it easy. It's got to be done. Murder out there. You want half a chance anyway.
You place the kid next to the wall. Then you can't stand it. You look around for the Nazis. You clench your teeth for the bullets that are going to rip into you. But they're gone. The doorway is empty. Either they didn't see you at all, or they saw your Geneva Cross in the growing dawn. You don't stop to puzzle it out. You get away from there as fast as your tired legs will take you. A quarter mile away, you find your platoon, and you throw yourself down in the mud beside them, your racking lungs pawing for breath.
Well, well, Florence Nightingale has returned to the fold.
This time you grin. There's Bill grinning right back at you. Those are the warmest words you've ever heard.
Are you okay, Doc?
I'm okay, Bill.
Now you're really dragged out. They can fight the war without you for all you care. You're going to sleep right here. And you do. And it's 100 years later when somebody shakes you back to life.
Doc. Doc.
Hi, Red.
Good sleep?
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, what time is it?
Late afternoon. A runner just brought up some stuff for you. Here we go, kid.
Hey, aren't we going back?
Back. We're moving up. As soon as they give us a Red Star show.
Well, at least I got some sleep.
Here are a couple of plasma cylinders for you. They're kind of heavy.
Yeah, you're telling me.
You ought to have a St. Bernard dog carry them for you.
No, thanks. I read a book once about dogs in wartime. Their masters get killed, and there's no one to remember their names. You ever have a dog?
Yeah, once. Yeah. It was run over. I never liked dogs after that.
You must have been crazy about him.
Yeah, I guess I was. I was just a kid. You know how kids are. They don't have any sense about liking things. They go nuts over something, and when it's gone...
Yeah, maybe that's why...
Maybe that's why I don't make friends? Yeah, maybe it is. I saw the way it hit Johnny when Tony McGill got it. Nobody's going to hurt me like that. Nobody. I don't even write to no one.
No? You got a fountain pen on you. What's that for?
Somebody gave it to me at the USO. I never used it yet. I'm never gonna.
Hey, there goes the star shell. And it's Red.
That's us.
This is the advance. No pickets charge. It's an unpatterned moving of detachments in all directions. Your platoon moves out ahead of you. But this time, they're not clay pigeons. This time, the object is not to get killed. Kelly's up ahead. He's a good guy, that lieutenant. Always goes first, leading his men. You can get to love a guy like Kelly. You're flanking the village this time, crossing a field toward a low wall. Behind the wall is an orchard, lousy with Nazis. Mortars behind every tree. They wait until the platoon is close enough and then let loose.
Okay, fellow. Where are you headed?
Medic!
I'm right here, Doc.
Doc, it hurts. It hurts.
Yeah, I know, kid.
You look for his wound. The mud is so thick that it's covered up his legs. You look again. There are no legs.
Is it bad, Doc? Tell me the truth. Is it bad?
It's all right, kid. It's all right. Just take it easy now. Here's a hypo for you till the stretcher bearers get here.
You got a cigarette?
Sure, sure.
Up. I'm sorry I'm making such a fuss. But it hurts so.
You give him a double injection of morphine. And for the last 5 minutes of his life, you give him a bust. It won't last long. Neither will he. So you give him the best smile you've got on hand and move on after your platoon. Platoon is hard to find in the dust. All you know is they were headed for a wall, and that's where you go. There are soldiers all around you, but none you recognize until you see that tall guy starting to go over the wall and then falling crazily back into the mud. It's Red. You run to his side.
Where are you hit, Red?
Leg.
Which one?
This one. It took my foot off.
No, it didn't.
Medic! Medic!
That's Kelly. He got it.
I'll get him next. Here, let me get your shoe off.
Ah!
All right.
Take it easy, Doc.
Okay, now. There you are. Yeah, went right through the back of your leg. Ah, you get hurt that bad in a football game. You ever play football?
All right, blow it. I don't need any of your bedside manners, save it for Kelly.
You're a funny guy, Red.
Yeah, ain't we all?
Ah!
All right. Did you take yourself a pill?
I don't need pills. I can get along all right.
Are you going to take them or do you want me to ram them down your throat?
All right.
Give me yourself a powder.
Here.
Now listen, don't try to crawl back, Red. They're raking the field. Lie close to the wall. On this side, you're okay.
All right, wait a minute.
There. That bandage will hold.
Forget about me, will you?
No. You crawl through that mud and you won't have a leg. You do as I tell you now. You stay here.
Magic!
I'm coming, Kelly!
You slither over the wall and lie at the bottom for a moment. You're on the bad side now, right in the enemy's fire. You'll locate Kelly. He's crunched in a heap under an olive tree. You start up. Then duck. Machine gun bullets hit the wall over your head. After a moment, you crawl toward Kelly. He sprawled out like a discarded doll. When you're close to him, you speak into his ear.
Where are you hit, Kelly?
Clutching his side. A shell fragment has torn a hole in him, but he's alive. You know he wants water. That kind of a wound dries a man right up.
I know. Drink a lot, Kelly.
When he's done drinking, you fix him up. It takes a long time. Minutes are like hours when there's hell all around you. His face turns a bad color. He's got to have plasma. Then there might be a chance. But first, you've got to get him over the wall and out of the line of fire.
Can you crawl, Kelly? Even a little? I'll try.
I'll try, Doc.
All right, come on up. I'll drag you.
So you both inch along. There's blood in Kelly's mouth, and that's not good. Even so, there's a chance. You're almost to the wall when he shakes his head.
Let me rest. Just a minute, Doc. Just a minute.
You lie beside him while he sits in the mud.
Hey, we better get going, Kelly. I'm dropping shells right close now. Come on, fella, try again. Kelly!
But Kelly doesn't move. He just lies heavy and still. You shake him. Then you roll him over. One side of his face is wet with red mud. A chunk of shrapnel is ripped off his jaw. You pull out an EMT. You slowly fill it in. It's difficult to make out the words you're putting down.
Joseph Kelly, Second Lieutenant, Company B, K, I, A.
Now you've got to leave Kelly like you left Red and Johnny and the kid. You've got to go to your platoon. So you rise to a crouch, ready to spring for a ditch. A ton of brick hits the side of you. You're thrown against the wall. For a moment, you feel nothing but surprise, and then, like a slow fire, the pain comes. Your leg throbs like someone was beating it with a sledgehammer.
Medic! Medic!
Then you remember, it's up to you. Now you've got to take care of yourself. So you take your pills, shoving them into your mouth like you've shoved them into a dozen other mouths. You cut away your trouser leg. You're dripping sweat that's like ice water. You pour in the powder and you slowly wind the bandage around a wound that reaches from your calf clean up to your hip. You've got to get to the other side of that wall where it's safe. It takes everything you've got inside of you to do it.
slowly you pull yourself up. You've got to get over that wall. You throw your balance and land on a heap right on the leg. And then you pass out. When you open your eyes, Red's looking down at you.
Drink this, Doc. Did you take your pills?
Yeah.
All right, we're getting out of here. And even safe on this side of the wall now with those shells. Where's the battalion aid station?
The village where we were last night.
Hey, you're turning gray.
More water.
Doc, how do you operate this plasma cell?
No, water. Plasma takes a long time.
I didn't ask you that. You're getting some right here.
Bottles. Take them out of cylinders.
Yeah, then what?
The bottle in the kit.
All right. I got it. Go ahead.
Hang up the two bottles so that the powder of that one and the water from the other one run into the empty one. Then attach the syringe to it.
Yeah. All right. All set, Doc. Where do I stick it in?
Give it to me. I'll jab it into my vein.
What do I do after that?
Takes a long time. Maybe you ought to get back.
I said, what do I do?
There's nothing to do but wait. Till it's all gone.
All right. So we wait.
From here on, it's all a jumble of odd things to remember. You remember hobbling along with Red, each helping to take the load off the other's leg. You remember a Nazi tank that didn't pay any attention to you. You remember that Red's words came out slowly and formed themselves into printed sentences in front of you.
There's a bunch of our half-track parked by the aid station. The dopes. They ought to know better. Hold tight, Jim. We'll be there soon.
You remember that Red never called you Jim before. You remember that an airplane came down at you, dropped a lot of stuff. The half tracks went all to pieces. The aid station crumpled. You and Red tried to run, but you didn't get far.
To talk, have you?
Is he all right?
How are you feeling, soldier?
What?
I've been asleep a long time, Peterson.
Sleep? Where am I?
Base hospital in Africa.
Africa?
Africa? Base hospital? That means you've got from a battalion aid station to the clearing station farther back, and then on to the evac hospital, and then to the base here. And all the while, you were out cold.
Excuse me, sir. How long since?
3 weeks. Almost 4 now.
Then you remember. Your hand still toward your leg.
Here, here. Now, keep your hands where they belong. Sorry, Peterson, you still got your leg. You're lucky. They tell me that aid station was blown off the map.
And Red was...
I wish I could tell you more about it, but, well, that's all I know. If you'll give me his name, I'll try to locate him for you if he's alive. Oh, here's a package that came for you a couple of days ago.
You open a small package. A fountain pen rolls out and rolls across the cover of your bed. You open the folded letter and you read...
Hiya, Doc. It's me, Red. I'm in one of those parking stations waiting to go home. Leg's doing fine. Bill's here, too. He says, hello, Florence Nightingale. I was thinking, maybe I was wrong about not wanting a friend. Anyway, here's my pen, in case you don't have one. If you don't want to write me a letter, just toss it in a basket. But if you do write... Well, I'd like to hear from you.
incidents in this broadcast are based upon fact. The names used, however, are wholly fictitious, and any similarity to those of actual individuals in the armed forces is coincidental. Tonight, the man behind the gun joins a grateful nation in congratulating the United States Marine Corps on its 168th birthday. Mindful of the undimmed glory of the Leathernecks, from the halls of Montezuma and the shores of Tripoli, through the jungles of Guadalcanal and Bougainville, we wish this oldest branch of America's armed forces many, many happy returns of the day. Next week, the man behind the gun is a brass hat at the invasion of Rendova. A brass hat who chalked up a landing record that may not be broken for a long time, and then had his ship shot out from under him. Don't miss it next week at this same time. The Man Behind the Gun is produced and directed by William N. Robeson. Tonight's broadcast was written by Forrest Barr. Jackson Beck is the narrator, and the original musical score is composed and conducted by Van Cleef. The Elgin National Watch Company presents The Man Behind the Gun each week at the same time. Elgin, as you know, is making precision instruments for the armed forces of the United Nations. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.
The Man Behind the Gun on Tuned to Yesterday. That's CBS radio broadcast from November 6th, 1943. William N. Robeson, the director of that series, also of shows like Suspense, he had once stated it was like a symphony coming off of his fingers while giving direction for that program, as the sound effects were an integral part of making that show come to life. Even in an effort to get the actors to yell louder over the gunshots they were hearing in the background, Robeson turned the sound effects speakers toward the actors to get realistic line readings. This is an hour of radio adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levillier. And now off to the woods with an episode of Mark Trail from February 15th, 1950 on the Mutual Broadcasting System, featuring Amy Seidel, Ben Cooper, and Matt Crowley.
Kellogg's Pep! Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal with the prize in every package, invites you to share another thrilling adventure with Mark Trail!
Battling the raging elements, fighting the savage wilderness, striking at the enemies of man and nature, one man's name resounds from snow-capped mountains down across the sun-baked plains. Mark Trail! Guardian of the forest, protector of wildlife, champion of man and nature, Mark Trail!
In the sheepherder's country just north of Lost Forest, a gala celebration is in progress. Mark Trail and Cherry have been invited to a barn dance. The huge barn has been cleared, the floor is waxed down, and everyone is happy and excited as they wait for the music to start.
Having a good time, Cherry?
Oh, wonderful, Mark. I'm so glad these sheep ranchers invited us. I haven't been to a square dance in a long time.
Oh, the caller is going to begin again.
All right, here we go. Take your partners, and here we go. First trail out.
Mark, what is it?
It's Cal Harkins, one of the sheep ranchers.
I've just been out to the sheep pens. Five sheep have been attacked and killed.
Oh, did you see the killer?
Yeah, I saw the killer.
Who
I
was
saw
the
him
killer?
Running away. It was Mark Trail's dog, Andy.
With the news that Andy has slaughtered five sheep and run away, the excited sheep ranchers run out to the pens. And sure enough, the dead animals are lying on the ground, their throats torn, while the excited sheepmen surround Mark and Cherry.
Trail, I always knew that dog of yours was a killer.
Andy is no killer, Harkins.
Of course he isn't.
I hear, Jeff, and this here dog of yours is already tasted blood, and I hear he killed a deer up north.
Yes. Yes, that's right. As a matter of fact, he did. But it was because I ordered Andy to do it. We were up in North Forest, an Indian guide and myself. We were starving. Too weak to track any game. Why, we'd have died if Andy didn't find that deer.
But he did kill.
Yes, but it was for food, and Mark trained Andy.
Don't make any difference, Miss Cherry. The dog's tasted blood. And as long as he's running around loose, our sheep aren't safe.
Listen, boys, wait a minute, listen. You're all jumping at conclusions. I know Andy. Why, he's my own dog. Now, I'll admit it looks bad for the moment,
I'll
but
say
I...
it looks bad, Trail. I saw Andy with my own eyes among the sheep, and he ran away, sneaked across the range when I saw him. If he didn't kill those sheep, why did he run away?
But that still isn't proof.
Oh, isn't it, Miss Cherry?
No. Cherry is right, Harkins. Now... if you'd only give Andy a chance. Wait till I find him and then...
Not on your life, Trail. We're not aiming to give this killer dog of yours a chance to kill again. We're going to hunt him down and shoot on sight. That right, boys?
That's right.
We'll start hunting at daybreak.
Oh, Mark, they're going to kill Andy. I've got to find him. I'm going to take one of the horses and look for him.
Cherry.
Sure good to be home.
Yeah, Frank. It was a fine barn dance till all that trouble happened, that killer dog and all.
Martha, tell you the truth, I'm a little worried. Sheep out in our pens are all we got in the world.
Yep.
Not enough that we brought them through scabbies and sheep tick, but now with a killer loose in the rain.
Well, no use worrying about it. It's late and we'd best be getting to bed.
Yeah, guess you're right.
Frank, what's that?
Something's loose out in the sheep pens, Martha.
You're right.
Quick, Mother. Get me my rifle.
Oh, Frank, look.
Yes, three lambs. Three of our best Hampshires. Slaughtered.
Frank, it must have been that big dog. Mark Trail's dog.
No doubt about it, Mother. If I ever get a chance at that killer, he'll never murder another lamb at night.
Frank, listen. What's that?
Sounds like the whine of a dog. Over there in the corner of the pen.
But it's dark. We can't see it.
Let's move closer. Take a look.
Frank, it's Mark Trail's dog. It's Andy.
Yes, it's a murdering critter, all right.
Look at him. He's all covered with blood.
Get back, Mother.
Frank, what are you going
to
do now?
I'm going to put a bullet through his head with this rifle. I'm going to make this range safe for our sheep once and for all.
Oh, but Frank, you can't
now,
do anything.
Now, you murdering critter, you've struck down your last...
Frank, wait a minute now. Don't shoot yet. Someone's coming.
Who?
What? It's that girl from Lost Forest. Cherry.
Mother, you go in the house. I want to handle this alone.
Sherry. No, please don't shoot him. Give him a chance.
Oh, sure,
please.
A chance to kill more sheep. Now you're alive.
Oh, please, Mr. Allen, he didn't do it.
Get out of my way, miss. I'm telling you for the last time. Who's that? Who's coming out?
It's Mark. It's Mark Trail. Mark! Mark!
Sherry, I've been following you all the way from town. Andy. Oh, Andy, boy, so you're here. Andy, you've been hurt.
Get out of the way, Trail. I'm putting a bullet into him.
Oh, no, you're not, Alan. Not yet. Cherry.
Yes, Mark.
Cherry, better call the doctor for Andy.
All right, Mark.
And let's not move him till we're sure no bones are broken.
I'll call the doctor right away.
I don't care, Trail. Out in the sheep country, we shoot a killer dog on sight. You know the law of the range.
He didn't kill those lambs, Alan. And I can prove it.
Oh, yeah? How?
Andy's wounded. Slashed across the head and legs. Sheep never fight back when they're attacked. You know that. That means there must have been some other animal in the sheep pen.
All I know is that your dog was the only prowler here.
Alan, I want to hunt down the real killer as much as you do. But before you pass judgment, let's take a look around. Alan, look here.
Huh? Where?
On the ground here, the edge of the corral. There's a track of the dirt. The print of an animal's foot, see? Now,
let me see. It doesn't look like anything to me, Trail. It's blurred.
It's a print, all right. The print of a mountain lion. Hey, wait a minute. Look. Look, Alan. There's a toe missing.
Huh?
Now I know who slaughtered your sheep. And the others near the barn dance.
What are you driving at, Trail?
This is the track of the big mountain lion they call Whisperfoot.
Whisperfoot?
Yes.
That can't be, Trail. Well, that big mountain lion hasn't been around these parts for 2 years. Slaughtered over 100 sheep in his time. They say he had a human mind.
Yes, yes, I know, Alan. But he's come back. You can see that by the paw print.
That doesn't mean a thing to me. It's a blur to can mean anything. And I'm sure Whisperfoot's dead.
Alan, listen to me.
You listen to me, Trail. I heard enough. I'm going to town and pick up the boys. I'm going to tell them I've got the killer right here.
I tell you, boys, there was a mountain lion in the sheep pen of Allen's here.
And I tell you, Trail, the only killer in the pen was your dog, Andy. Alan here found him dead to rights.
But that track I showed you.
Can't tell a thing by it. It is blurred. Could be almost anything.
Boys, I've trailed practically every kind of game in every part of this country. I know that's the track of a mountain lion. And that missing toe proves it's Whisperfoot.
Whisperfoot?
Yes.
Well, he's been dead for years.
Sure thing. Say he was drowned or fell off a cliff.
Yeah, let's kill him. Let's kill him.
Yeah, you're right, boys. There's no use waiting. I'm going to finish off this killer right now.
Alan, put your gun away.
No one's going to stop me. Look at that dog staring up at me. If that ain't the devil himself in his eyes.
Don't go near that dog, Alan.
Get your hands off of me. I'll shoot if I want to.
Oh, no, you won't. You don't.
As Mark hears the shot, his heart leaps into his throat. Slowly, he turns to look at Andy. In a moment, we will continue, so stand by. With Andy's very life at stake, Mark has to call on all his strength, energy, and nerve. If Andy were your dog, a lot would depend on your strength, energy, and nerve. So listen.
Help build up strength. Help build up energy. Help build up strong bones and steady nerves. With that famous build-up wheat cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
Mark Trail's St. Bernard Andy has been accused of killing sheep. When Frank Allen, one of the sheep ranchers, leaps at Andy with a gun, Mark grapples with Allen. There is a shot. And then...
Give me that gun, Allen, you crazy fool! There!
I'll get another gun, Trail. You're not stopping me!
I'm glad that bullet missed my dog, Allen. I don't think I'd be responsible if it hit him.
Now take it easy, Allen. Take it easy. Maybe we ought to give Trail a chance to clear his dog.
Thanks, Harkins. Now listen to me, all of you. I hate a killer on the range as much as any of you. But Andy didn't kill those sheep, and I can prove it. Now, I say Whisperfoot's alive, and I'll track him down. But you've got to give me time. I'll have to have time.
How much time do you want?
Well, give me a week to find that killer lion, Harkins.
Oh, no, sure. So
sheep ranchers here won't wait that long, for you.
We'll give you less than 24 hours. The deadline's sundown tomorrow.
But that's just tonight and all day tomorrow.
Take it or leave it, Trail.
All right. All right, Alan. I'll take it.
They gave you only 24 hours, Mark?
Oh, that's right, Cherry.
But how can you do it? It would take a miracle.
I've got to do it, Cherry. Andy's life is at stake. I've got to prove to them by tomorrow sundown that Whisperfoot is the marauding killer, stalking every sheep pen on the range.
Whisperfoot?
Yes.
Mark, isn't he the big cat they say is almost human?
Yes, Cherry. He's not only a cruel and savage killer, but he's shrewd and cunning. Trailing him down is going to be the hardest assignment I've ever tackled.
Well, Mark, are you going to use traps?
No, I'm not. Ordinarily, Cherry, I'd never use a steel trap, except when I was hunting a killer like Whisperfoot.
But even in this case, traps would be useless.
Why?
Well, because Whisperfoot has a toe missing.
Oh.
That means he was caught in a trap once and tore a toe off getting away.
Uh-huh.
Now, that means he's trap shy, and he'll always be on the lookout for them.
Well, then how are you going to trail Whisperfoot?
Well, I've only got one chance, Cherry. One chance in 100. Dogs.
Dogs?
Yes. There's a hunter named Gorman living in Bonanza Valley about an hour from here. He owns a pack of hunting dogs, especially trained for big game. And I'm riding for his place, Cherry, right now.
So you want to borrow my dogs to track down that big cat on trail?
That's right, Gorman. And if I don't bring him in by dawn tomorrow, my dog dies.
I see. And you think old Whisperfoot is alive, huh?
I know he is.
You're a smart woodsman, Trail, and I give you credit. I know he's alive, too. Matter of fact, I've spent a year trying to corner him myself.
Gorman, I haven't much time. If you'll lend me your pack...
Sure. Sure, Trail, I'll be glad to. You can take the pack and bring back Whisperfoot. But on one condition.
What condition?
I don't know if you'll want to do it, if you... knew what I had in mind.
Well, Gorman, I have no choice. Andy's life is at stake.
Well, if we catch up with Whisperfoot my way, we still might not be able to bring him back. At least not in time.
Well, what's up your sleeve, Gorman?
It's this way, Trail. I've been offered $5,000 if I deliver a big cat like Whisperfoot. So I'm going to go along on this trip with you.
Why, gosh, I'll be glad to have you. Two guns are better than one.
Oh, no. No shooting.
No shooting? What? Why, Gorman, what do you mean?
We'll be doing the impossible if we do it at all, Trail. A zoo wants Whisperfoot. We must bring him back alive. No sign of Whisperfoot yet, Trail.
No. That cat's got the cunning of a devil, Gorman. Come a long way.
Yeah. And our horses are getting winded. We'll have to rest them soon.
Wait, Gorman. I've sworn to get that cat. There's only one thing that worries me.
What's that?
Time. It's been hours since we left the sheep ranch. It'll be dawn soon.
I'll say one thing, Trail.
Yes?
I thought I knew every trick of big game hunting. But you've taught me a few I never knew before. Thought sure we'd lost the trail back where Whisperfoot crossed that gully. You put the dogs right back on.
Gorman, I've never concentrated so hard in my life to catch a killer. I keep thinking of what the sheep ranches will do to Andy. And, well, I've just got to find that big cat, Gorman. I've just got to. If I don't, I can't...
Trail! Listen!
Gorman, it's Whisperfoot. Let's go! Gorman, rein up a minute.
Who?
Gorman, look over there.
Yeah, it's Whisperfoot. He's fighting the dogs, Trail.
Yes, and he's killed two of them already.
Trail, he's seen us. He's running toward that chasm. Now he's jumping that chasm to the other side. There he goes. Trail, he's made it. He's jumped clean over to the other side.
Come on, Gorman. There's no time to waste. Gorman, look here. On this edge of the chasm.
Yeah. It's Whisperfoot's lair.
Right. He's been holding up in this cave in the rock. And it's stuffed with sheep bones. Well, that ought to be proof enough for anybody. As to the real sheep killer.
Sure. But what about Whisperfoot himself? Big cat's on the other side of this chasm. It's a long jump. Maybe 15 or 20 feet.
Gorman, we've got to jump. Get across.
I don't see how. What good if we did? While we figure out how to get across, that cat'll gain miles on us.
No, we won't. A mile or so past this chasm is the Wilco River. Mountain lions won't even attempt to cross the water.
Yeah?
He'll be stopped between the river and this chasm.
Maybe so, but how are you getting across?
I'm going to get my horse to jump it.
Well, that's suicide.
It's the only way.
And even if you do make it, even if I'm fool enough to follow you, how do we get the dogs across?
I've got that figured out, Gorman. We'll stretch a rope across this chasm and tie it tight between my horse and yours.
Well, I suppose we can hitch both ends to the saddle of each horse and get them to pull it taut. But then what?
Well, there's some bacon in my food pack. I'm going to grease that rope with the bacon.
I don't get you yet, Trail. How does that get the dogs across?
Easy as pie, Gorman. We tie each dog with a second rope and loop it around the one that's stretched across this chasm.
Yeah?
Then we give each dog a shove, and he slides right across. Now, when he gets to my side, I let the dog go.
Trail, you're a genius. You get stuck by a chasm, so you make yourself your own hanging trolley car out of a rope. You got a head on your shoulders.
Well, there's no time to lose. Will you tie the dog?
Sure.
All right, then. I'm going to jump. Now, when I get on the other side, I'll toss you half my rope. Then you can hook up the line across.
Mighty smart idea. Trail, I'll tell you what. If you make the leap, why, by golly, I'll take my chance, too.
Okay, Gorman. First me. Come on, now. Come on, boy. All right, boy. Steady now, steady. Now, let's go. Jump, boy. Jump for your life.
Trail. Trail, you made it. I'm coming after you.
Wait a minute. First, I've got to grease the line. Then we get the dogs over.
I'm with you all the way, Trail. Don't worry about me pitching in.
Then you come over. And when we're all on this side, the chase starts again.
That was quite some trick, Trail. I can't get over it. I never saw that done before, sliding dogs across an agreed line like one of them overhead ski trains.
Forget the compliments, Gorman. We've got to get that cat. Look, the sun's beginning to drop toward the west. I've got to get him back to that sheep ranch before...
Trail, look, the river. Whisperfoot's at the edge of it. Afraid to cross, like you said.
The dogs are closing in on him. He'll make for that tree, I'm sure.
Yeah, if he goes, they treat him. He can't get on.
Quick, Gorman, come on after him. Well, well, Whisperfoot. So we meet at last.
Well, remember now, no guns. You must take him alive.
I know.
How can we do it? He'll rip us to pieces if we get close enough.
Only one way, Gorman. Look, the tree's on the edge of the river. Now, if it's chopped down correctly, it'll land in the river. The cat will be afraid of getting wet, so we'll hang on to the tree. He'll be marooned, helpless in the middle of the river.
I get it. Then we can lasso him easy. Tie him to the tree and carry it off between our horses.
That's the general idea.
But who's going to do the chopping?
I am.
But Trail, you'll be right under him. Supposing he decides to come out of that tree and springs at you.
Gorman, that's the chance I've got to take. To miss now. The sun will be down in an hour.
If you ask me, Alan, it's time.
Yep. Sun will be down in a couple of minutes.
Please give Mark Trail a little more time. He'll be here soon. I know he will.
We made a bargain at Trail, Miss Cherry. We're going to keep our side of it.
Harkins, I stand Andy against that fence.
Right. You ready, Alan?
Ready.
No, don't. Please don't.
Out of my way, Miss Davis. It'll be over with one shot.
Mark Trail's St. Bernard Andy, accused of murdering sheep, looks up at the rifle held in Frank Allen's hands. Allen takes careful aim, and then...
Harkins, grab a hold of him. That dog's gone crazy. He won't stand still.
Someone's coming, and Andy knows it. That's why he's jumping around. Someone's coming.
Who?
Listen. It's Mark. Mark Trail. See him coming over that rise?
By George, Harkins, it is. Hey, what's the horse dragging behind him?
That's the best part of a tree.
Oh, no, it's more than just a tree. Something's tied to it. Harkins, do you see what I see?
It's Whisperfoot. Mark Trail's bringing back Whisperfoot.
Cherry, am I in time? Is Andy all right?
Oh, Mark, you're just in time.
Sherry, know what that is?
Whippoorwill, I say, Mark.
Good for you. But you know, there are lots of bird calls you'd never recognize. The calls of rare birds who are almost extinct.
On Friday, Bart visits a sanctuary for rare birds. But he also comes face to face with a dangerous killer who takes careful aim at Mark before he pulls the trigger. Tune in same time, same station on Friday and find out what happens to
Mark Trail.
Battling the raging elements, fighting the savage wilderness, striking at the enemies of man and nature. One man's name resounds from snow-capped mountains down across the sun-baked plains.
Mark Trail.
Remember to tune in then on Friday when Mark Trail will again be brought to you by the Build-Up Wheat Cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
Mark Trail on Tuned to Yesterday from February 15th, 1950 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. And that brings to a close this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levinier. It's been a pleasure.